Welcome to episode 122 of the Watching It podcast. I binged Fringe and all they got was a white tulip. Donnell is looking to upgrade his drinking game. Mr. Immortal when he broke the window. Mike and Jakeem when they wished for a key. Rutherford when he remembered the past. An email from Eric. I'm your host, Robert. And with me is Donnell. How you doing today, Donnell?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good, you know. Yeah.
Little Darmok opening there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I love it. They need to have him in every episode. Yeah. Just a little weird quip. What was it? He drowned in the swamp.
Yeah.
So what you been watching, Donnell?
I haven't been watching any new shows or anything like that. Been on the YouTubes. And I've watched these two different series that are basically... So one of them is this guy who's a like professional gadget maker for like kitchen appliances.
Okay.
And they have him test like a whole bunch of weird random kitchen appliances.
Okay, I think I've seen this before.
Yeah, and he tests them out. It's always there's a theme. Like sometimes it'll be like one was like avocado appliances, so this different thing that can, you know, core avocados or different stuff. And so I've been watching a lot of him, and the only thing that I want to mention about this is I get that, you know, anybody can come, it's YouTube, so anybody can come in at any point and see any video of his. But every video he says the same thing, is he's testing them, and he tests them for, you know, practicality, usability, and then he also gives them a rating for whether or not, you know, he'd buy them for people. And then a lot of times he'll do a redesign, because that's just, he's a professional gadget maker, so he's like, I could make this better. But when it comes to the usability, he always wants to, you know, see how well can you use this item with your non-dominant hand.
Okay.
But he also wants to make it like, and I don't fully get this, because I'm like, well, no one's ever going to be... I mean, yeah, if you're in the kitchen, you might have oil in your hand, but also you'll just clean it off your hands if you're using this device. But he always is like, now I'm going to put oil on my non-dominant hand, and this is to help simulate as if I had a, you know, a disability. And I'm just like...
Like being left-handed?
Yeah. And I'm just like, one is he says it the same way every episode. So if you watch them back to back, like I have, which is weird, I have a couple of times, it you just keep hearing him say, so I'm going to put oil on my non-dominant hand. I'm like, dude, stop saying it. Like, I know, like I said, anybody at any point could be coming in, so he has to explain it out. But it grates you. Like, I don't know, some variation. You can say the same
this
thing
sounds
in a different
like he's
way.
Preparing for some sex thing.
But yeah, so yeah, just I don't know why it's just good background filler, and it's a decent length. Nice. It's like 20 minutes, you know, because he takes time with each one, and also sometimes he has some very interesting gadgets. It's like, oh, that is kind of interesting and weird. So I've been watching him, and then another thing I've been watching is and I can't remember what this. It's a channel, but and they do a bunch of different stuff. But one thing they do on it is like, basically like every way to prepare a fish, or every way to what is it to like crack nuts or different things, like they just show you the technique. And so it's these videos where there's basically like one after another, they just show you, you know, okay, well, you do this and then you can compare the fits this way. And so two of the series they have on there is, one is every way to every way to prepare a cocktail, and then there's another one that's every way to, I think it's just every way to or every how to make every vodka drink or whatever.
Ooh, I need to watch that.
And so I'm watching those, and I'm ever gonna be mixing drinks. That's not my thing. But where you're
gonna mix drinks at my place.
Not really mixed. Like, I mean, I make a freaking Crown and Coke. That's not, that doesn't take much.
Have I not
skill.
Had to taught you how to make the vodka sour?
You showed me and Tim last time we were here, and I don't remember a step of it. You know, I know there's some stuff.
Well, I know I made Tim make his own.
Yeah, you
drink.
Made Tim make his own, and
I'll make you make your own drink.
But still, like, it's just not my thing. But the reason why I'm watching these videos is because, like, when I go out to the bar and stuff, and if I'm trying to drink, you know, if I'm drinking more than beer, like, I ordered only three different drinks. I order a Moscow Mule. I order a White Russian. And then also I can do, you know, just a generic rum and Coke, you know, and I do that. And I was like, you know, I want to be able to walk in and order some other stuff. So I'm watching all these different drinks that they're making and seeing what's
like
going on.
Like a blue carousel.
And yeah. And so a couple I pulled out. Like, one is I want to get a Boulevardier.
Boulevardier.
It sounds fancy in the ingredients. The ingredients are interesting. I probably can't just order at just any bar. It's probably going to be like a little bit we can't go to the dive bar and get a Boulevardier at them. But yeah, so the ingredients looked pretty good.
What's in a Boulevardier?
I cannot remember off
the top. You brought it up, man.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I remember the ingredients looked good, and it looked good once it's all done, and it sounds fancy, Robert. And then there was a, was it a whiskey fix? Yeah, whiskey fix. And that's basically a, for that one, I don't remember the exact ingredients, but I remember the explanations. Basically, any whiskey drink with basically a fruit flavoring over ice. And it looks pretty good. Looks like slushy in the video. I'm certainly not every bartender makes it the same way as the guy in this video.
But so, yeah. so a Boulevardier is bourbon, sweet vermouth, and something called bitter red aperitif.
Something like that.
Aperitif. I don't know how to say that. I've never heard of it.
But yeah. So yeah, I've been watching those videos and just basically like taking down some names of some drinks that sound interesting. So next time I'm out at the bar, you know, I can order some more luxurious.
You're really hoping that some attractive girl that's at the bar is gonna be like, "That's my favorite drink."
I mean, that's the plan, Robert. Is to be like, "Let me get a Boulevardier." She's like, "Ooh," and I'd be like, "Make it two." And then next thing you know, Donnell's out for the night having a good time.
Very nice, very nice.
What about you, Robert? You watched anything interesting?
Well, we watched Meet Cute.
We watched Meet Cute.
Which is a fantastic movie. Its rating is growing.
I checked
very quickly.
What's it at now? Or what? Last
I think it was like 5.2 last time I checked. I saw it from original 4.5.
Okay, yeah. 5.0.
Be sure to check our Watched It episode that we did talking about that movie and go watch it. It's on Peacock or wherever you find your movies outside of their legal services. Yeah. Just fantastic. Yeah. Funny and really, really great. And other than that, I've been watching some YouTube videos, but nothing to really talk about. Trying to get into the irregulars now, and stuff like that. But I finished my Fringe binge.
Fringe binge.
Man, what an amazing show!
Yeah,
I in my head thought that it ended with a cliffhanger, which it sort of does, but not really. I mean, it definitely comes to a close. They resolve everything.
I was gonna say they ended it because I know when Fringe ended, it was like up in the air, like they were kind of canceled, but they weren't sure if they're coming back. So I know that they wanted to wrap everything up, but they also kind of wanted to leave it open in case they could somehow get another season.
And they definitely do that with like a 2-second scene at the end. Exactly. Just an amazing show from start to finish. I mean, it's long as far as these days go, 24 1-hour episodes over 5 seasons.
Yeah.
They definitely jumped the shark towards the end of the 4th season, and the whole 5th season is just one big shark jump. It's just like they dial that to like 12. It's just like it just gets crazy. They go from like, "Oh, we're an FBI investigative team," to "We are freedom fighters in a post-apocalyptic timeline." Like it is pretty crazy. But it does have the weirdest ending. If no one has watched Fringe, you're just not going to remember this.
Yeah.
It's unimportant and it's dumb. But at the very end, one of the characters gets a letter and in it is a drawing of a white tulip.
Yep.
And you watch that, and if you haven't binged the show, you're like, "What the hell was that?" Because he like looks at the camera like that's an extraordinarily important item that he just got after this big ending that just happened. And it makes no sense at all, because first of all, there's an episode called White Tulip that's in, I think, the 2nd season, and it's a throwaway episode. It's just a like not part of the main storyline.
Right.
Just Monster of the Week episode. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And the basis of that episode is there's a guy who's doing a time loop trying to figure out how to get far enough back to save his wife. Right. There's actually a couple episodes like that.
Yeah.
But this one, Walter Bishop, the main character, we're going down this road for just a minute.
That's right.
he tells the guy about like some of the bad stuff he did with like this alternate, universe and whatnot. And he's something comes up about a white tulip. He wanted a sign from God that he was forgiven for the terrible things that he did, because he went to go save his son in a certain way, which it wasn't really his son, it was an alternate reality son.
Yeah,
whole thing. It ended up killing like millions and millions of people over a long period of time. But yeah, this guy, he ends up, like, in the end of that episode is the time traveling guy. He gets away and accomplishes his goal, which is very interesting that that he doesn't, you know, the quote bad guy wins.
Yep.
But he sends him a white tulip in the mail. Just completely like throwaway. You almost like inside of the episode, it's almost like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
But then for that, but then like they reset the timeline so much that like by the time like he sends him this white tulip, first of all, we don't know who sends him because he's supposed to be like non-existent anymore. Mm-hmm. And he's sending it to a guy who doesn't remember that timeline.
Yeah.
Any of the timelines that would have had the white tulip. It is just so bizarre the way they end it. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, that does not take away from the fact that it's an amazing show and really like in the beginning, just all the little details and things that they start to interweave that just don't mean anything until 3 or 4 seasons later. Absolutely fantastic. Anyway, it's on HBO Max.
HBO Max.
So watch it while it's still there.
I say watch it while you can until HBO Max. HBO Max sent a...
Well, that's not a show they can cancel. It's already been canceled.
Yeah, but will they carry it over to Discovery Plus? Yeah,
that's true.
HBO Max sent a thing out, and I was like, man, that's really kind of scummy. Like, I basically advertising like, hey, sign up for HBO Max and get it at a discount. And I'm like, why are you getting people to sign up for your service? You're getting taken away. Like, don't be advertising for HBO Max at this point.
I would imagine the subscription is going to roll into Discovery Plus. I'll cancel at that point.
Yeah, me too. Stupid.
How am I going to get my Harley Quinn? How am I getting my Titans? There's too many things up in the air, Donnell. Too many important shows.
I mean, you know how you get them, Robert. It's not like having HBO Max taint that or anything.
Donnell, I've been getting DMCA notices.
Oh, snap.
I got one for Lower Decks.
Oh, snap. I mean, I just been using our site.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes I don't want to deal with the commercials. You know, and the advertisements and stuff. Yeah. Well, you use an ad blocker. Yeah, I don't use an ad blocker.
Just ad blocker.
But I want it. Sometimes I want it in 4K.
Okay, you know, I'll give you that. You can't get that on our site.
So we got an email from Eric.
Yeah, we got a little response from Eric. If you listen to our last episode, we took a little sidetrack through the episode when I found an article talking about weird comics, and number one in that article was a WCW Marvel comic. And so as you go, we have our wrestling aficionado, Eric Donaldson,
our top wrestling correspondent.
Yes, exactly. Our top wrestling correspondent, Eric Donaldson, down out in the field. I threw a little because we've had him on a couple times. We've been on his podcast and just in our general talking. He seems to somehow know everything about wrestling.
Yes.
Can't stump the dude. So I threw out a challenge to him because I was like, hey, you know about this wrestling comic? Because it seems kind of off the wall. And so he promptly actually got back to us. He listened to the episode and he's gotten back to us, Robert. So he sent us a little email. Gonna go ahead and read that for you. All right, so this is from Eric Donaldson, of course. Yeah, starts, hey fellas, just listened to your most recent episode. Came across a call out around the WCW comic. Figured I'd reach out. Which I mean, that was the point of the call out. Wasn't like
like
I wasn't calling you out. And we chowing the phone about it. No, but anyway,
thinking it's an invite when it was a challenge.
Exactly. No. Anyways, I'm writing the first part of this message off of memory. I don't own any of these, but I know at least 3 wrestling related comics books have existed at one point. There was Undertaker, which featured the Undertaker, Warrior, which featured the Ultimate Warrior, and Nass, featuring Kevin Nass. Of the 3 above, Undertaker and Warrior characters lend themselves pretty well to having comics written about them on account of their larger-than-life personalities and ridiculous backstories, which I totally agree with. I mean, the Undertaker's whole dead man routine that he did for most of his career and just, you know, always coming back from the dead, really, really... Not a normal motif to have.
Yeah.
But anyways, Kevin Nass, who is who in wrestling was basically just playing himself. Yep. Gigantic man who was also smart ass dick. I believe his comic involved him being a bounty hunter / mercenary in a post-apocalyptic setting.
Yes.
You know, just like his character in wrestling.
Why they haven't made like a cartoon series or like live action?
They have. Stuff is, like... They have made cartoon series. One actually was on Netflix. It was a kids one. It was 3D animated, and the wrestlers were like kind of like heroes, but not and stuff. And that, yeah, I think John Cena was the main dude back then. And he was on that. But
John Cena just got the Guinness Book of World Records for most Make a Wish.
Damn.
I'm surprised he didn't get that a while ago. I'm like, who's second? Who's beating him?
I mean, there's a few people who
there are a lot of fantastic people that are out there. You know, Johnny Depp does a lot of them.
Ryan Reynolds,
but Johnny Depp but John Cena is doing like two a day or some shit for like 5 years.
they both go as themselves, or not themselves, as their characters, Captain America and Deadpool, a lot. So I mean, there's a lot of people.
Man, we need another season of Peacemaker.
Yeah, we do. And we are getting
or another Suicide Squad.
We are getting that. And then another Suicide Squad, the Suicide Squad, is up in the air because James Gunn said he's interested, but he wants to base like he's finishing up.
I like that he's a one project at a time kind of guy. He puts all his effort into the project.
So he's finishing up Guardians of the Galaxy, and then he also said before he steps into another Suicide Squad or anything really that somebody else's project, he's like, he's had ideas of his own.
Yeah.
And he's just felt, you know, he's been locked in with Marvel until they fired him. And then DC now, and then back to Marvel. So he's just like, I want to take it after I'm done with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I want to make some of my own product thing. So if he does come back to it, I imagine it won't be for, you know, 4 or 5 years, honestly. I mean, the guy, like I said, he has every right to do his own stuff. You know, he's a creative person. Anyways, back to our story here, our email. Now I'm going on Google, and officially I had no idea. So we got him. About the Marvel WCW comic. I had assumed it'd be from like the late 90s, early 2000s, but apparently it was the early 90s. I'm looking at it now. Apparently it's just a comic about wrestling with even more bonkers storylines. Apparently in one issue, Sting it was hypnotized by an evil hypnotist and stomped on a chocolate cake that a young fan had given him. In short, you got me a piece of wrestling trivia that I didn't know about. As your prize, here's a panel from the Warrior comic featuring the aftermath of the Warriors sexually assaulting Santa Claus. Enjoy. So we got that panel, and then also we got the
next time we see him, he's just gonna have a box of comic books.
Yeah, exactly. We also have the he also attached, even though he didn't mention it, we have the whole, like, I scroll through that, we have the whole NAS comic,
so
we can peruse through that at some point and see exactly what's going on there. All I know is, like, this is the starting panel, and it's a giant dude with a Gatling gun firing. Nice. And
I'm like, I bet that's all on like readcomics.com or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that's never happened to Kevin Nash as far as I know. But
comic canon, not main canon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Eric, thank you for writing in and thank you for listening to the show. Yeah, that's awesome.
And now I'm just, you know, we got him finally. We got him. Put that one in the scorebooks. It's like 25-1 now, but we got a point on the board.
All right, with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about She-Hulk, the Lower Decks, not Andor. We'll do that separately. Mm-hmm. And our other show,
Stargirl, Robert. We even covered that one the longest.
This was a shit episode. I'm saying it now. All right, let's talk about Lower Decks.
Let's talk about
a Rutherford focused episode. Yeah, very interesting.
Don't get too many of these. Don't get too many of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rutherford focus episode. I think we kind of do this a little bit when there's multiple storylines. I think we go through the side bit real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about Boimler and Mariner running the recruiting booth.
Yeah, yeah. One is like, even though it's like this is what season three, I'm like, the Manor character very much plays to the same strengths, because it's like she even says this. She's like, what are you gonna do? And she's like, complain the whole time and make things worse. And I'm like, that's what she does, like that. But yeah, so they're assigned to work a recruiting booth, even though they're not the military, which is also pointed out in this. Yeah. But just to get people to join Starfleet, and Steve very much points out, like, and I agree with her, I was like, no one joins Starfleet from a recruiting booth. Like, yeah, you go to the academy. Like, What are you going to do from a recruiting booth and get into, you got to have some sort of background in something. Even to be a security officer on a ship, I imagine you got to have some background in science.
Yeah. I do like the guy who's like, do I have to go to Starfleet Academy? She's like, no, you can join the enlisted services. Like, I guess that was, oh man, why can't I think of him now? The main man. The guy who ran the transporter. Scotty? No. O'Brien.
Oh, O'Brien. Yeah, yeah.
Because he wasn't an officer.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. We need a Starbase 80 episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
We got to have a reason why they have to go to Starbase 80.
Yes, for
like,
sure.
Because I tried looking this up and I couldn't find anything interesting about it,
there's
really.
There's something, but yeah, just, yeah.
It's just an inside joke in the Lower Decks show.
Yeah. By Ranton is all, I'll send you to Starbase 80. And I was like, is this something I said? No, I feel like I said no this. And yeah, I had no idea. I couldn't find anything on it. But yeah, so they're running this booth and they're next to this chick who's a independent archaeologist, space archaeologist. And she's just basically turning everyone away from them.
By the way, I'd watch a little show about this lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this is like her whole heist game.
Yeah,
like this. She's got this. Like the booth. She isn't recruiting. She it's just all part of her plan.
I mean, yeah, that is something that should have been raised. Like Manor brings up. He's like, "What are you here? Why don't you just go and liberate some stuff from that museum?" And ultimately, she does. And that's one thing. It's like someone should have seen a red flag. It's like, yes, he's not promoting anything or get asking people to join. Like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Why are you here with a booth if you're not trying to get people to sign up or purchase stuff or something?
I would also like more of the truthers.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, it's like, what about when the worms crawled inside of all Starfleet command? And she's like, that did happen. Like what happened to Sisko? Where is he really? But yeah, eventually people just down talk the Federation so much that Boimler gets mad and starts smashing everything.
Freaks out and starts smashing everything. And he gets mad when they, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's a metal pin or whatever, but when they take his rank.
His pip.
His pip. Yeah. And they step on it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's fine, Boimler. Like, I don't think it's going to break. Just go pick it up. But he freaks out at that and basically destroys.
Hey, that's his pip, man. That's a big deal.
His one and only. We'll see if
it's all he's got.
We'll see if he ever gets more. But Rage out. And that causes. I like the one dude who's like, does Starfleet give you that kind of confidence? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if it does, because this isn't how normal Boimler acts. He's been a Starfleet for a while. But
well, I mean, earlier in the first season, he was not very confident, but he's more confident over time.
He's more confident over time. I still want to say he's a confident individual overall.
But yeah, I like that they put him in the brig, but he's still like made friends with, the first officer.
Ranson, yeah.
Got his respect.
Also, being in the brig, I'm like, so you can be in the brig, but your friends can just come and hang out with you? I'm just like, what's the point of being in the brig? I mean, kick it in.
I liked how they had, like, the drawing on the wall of the brig cell, where it was, like, Mariner's castle and Boimler's house, and it was like they were checking off how many times they had been in.
But yeah, so that was a little fun little side bit, but then Rutherford had his own adventure, which, first off, before we even get into his adventure, his full name is Samanthian. I think it's Samanthian. Yeah, Samanthian Rutherford, which I was like, that is a very weird
name. I'd go by Rutherford too.
Yeah, I'd go by Rutherford also. But yeah, he's having some weird nightmares, which they never really, I mean, I guess that was just a way to get us to the point where he gets his memory reset, but I would also say they never really like contribute that to anything. Some weird nightmares that had nothing to do with the rest of the storyline. I guess it was just, like I said, the lead-in to get us to the storyline.
Well, I mean, this was a big reveal, right?
Basically, his
implant is going haywire,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden there's like another person takes over his body, which I was like, oh, that's like the implant itself.
Yeah.
No, he was murdered.
Yeah. Yeah, Rutherford.
He murdered himself to some degree.
No.
So Rutherford was a person, right?
Yep.
And he was in Starfleet.
Yep.
And he was working on some crazy like fighter engines and racers and stuff. And then he gets blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they force the implant onto him.
Yeah.
And that suppresses his entire personality.
Yeah.
And so he becomes effectively a different person.
Exactly.
So that's like murder number one.
Right.
But the personality hides itself. And that's the whole reason he's been having glitches for the like the last several seasons.
Exactly.
It's because that's his real personality that's trapped inside of him.
I really like
trying to like get out.
I really love the line where he's like, haven't you noticed glitches? It's like, I did like peaches that one time. I'm like, that's me. That's the thing that stands out is that you liked peaches.
But yeah, we get the cool Rutherford. Which I think it would have been interesting if they'd like merged the personalities.
I thought they were going to
merge. Or if the original one had because, had
like
taken
I said,
over.
At the end of the day, I mean, I kind of agree with you. At the end of the day, like the Rutherford we all know is not truly Rutherford.
Yeah.
Like they, and the fact that he's okay, like when he first reveals when the cool Rutherford is what we're going to refer to him. So real quick, Rutherford gets his implant reset, and that allows cool Rutherford to come out.
The cache is
purged. Take over. Yeah. We also find out that Rutherford's been dating, apparently. So I guess him and Tindy are just friends. I thought that they were at a thing.
Well, no. He was going out with the Trill girl.
Yeah.
And that was a previous episode where Tindy was like super jealous and was like, "You shouldn't
I don't
date her."
That.
Okay. And Tindy like squared off with her, was like, "Don't go out with Rutherford."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that didn't work out because he was very upset when Rutherford didn't remember what positions he had.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be a funny scene when she like just walks up and slaps him at some point in a later episode.
I mean, they might explain to the whole ship that Rutherford had a experience. But anyways, so we get to see cool Rutherford. And that's original Rutherford. That's the thing.
Yep.
He's the original Rutherford. And the implant basically overwrote him. And the like, basically, when he reveals that fact to Rutherford and stuff, Rutherford doesn't seem bothered by it. And I'd be like, I'd be like instantly concerned.
Yeah.
Like, someone overwrote my personality. Like, I'm not like not I have a crisis of conscience. I was like, I'm not Rutherford.
Yeah.
I'm not the real person. You know, I'm some made up personality.
This is some Black Mountain shit.
Yeah. Like exactly. But he's pretty calm about it. And so basically, they only
that's the implant keeping him calm.
I guess. So only one Rutherford can survive, and so they decide to have a space race to settle it. And this is all taking place inside of his mind.
Yeah.
And this is where I was like, well, hold up. Then technically, whoever wins this race is just who believes their spaceship is faster.
Yeah.
It's all mental. Yep. And so then when the Romulans show up, I'm like, hold on.
That was weird.
Who imagined the Romulans? Yeah. Like, because at one point, like, maybe it's not all mind control. But then when OG Rutherford, that's still cool Rutherford. When I don't know, implant Rutherford has his crew. I'm like, and he even says, like, yeah, you said I could make anything. So I made my crew. I'm like, okay, so you guys admit that everything in this headspace is made up.
Yeah.
Why is there a Roman warship attacking you guys?
Here's my theory.
Okay.
Is because when he first talks about the implant several seasons ago, he says it's a Vulcan implant. I think it's a Romulan implant. And that was a defense mechanism.
Okay. But yeah, so unfortunately, and I guess, I mean, we'll probably never see him again. Huh? Like, OG / cool Rutherford gets his ship attacked, and he ends up, even though Rutherford teleports him onto his ship with his fake crew, which Mariner was way too, like, obliging. And so I was like, yeah, your version of Mariner isn't, like, real.
Yeah.
But anyways, he teleports him on the ship, but it's too late. He's dying. But they are able to unlock the memory that someone high up in Starfleet, basically when he got injured, they wanted to his because he says they can't know of my involvement, meaning like whatever Rutherford was doing, even though it seemed like he was kind of doing some stuff off the books, it sounds like he was doing it off the books for somebody high up in Starfleet,
maybe some Section 31 something or other.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember because there's been little sprinkles of this Rutherford mystery.
Yeah.
In previous seasons and episodes, but this is the first time where we got some like real solid stuff. I'm just like, okay, this is a solid running storyline. Like, I'm interested where this is playing out. Like, this is gonna be interesting.
I hope they do some more episodes where they explore like some more backstory of the characters because we need to see what like some more backstory of Mariner.
Yeah,
like we don't know how she got here.
Yeah, and she's like, but it's already been noted. I mean, she even brings up in this that she has a degree and I can't remember what, but a degree. But like, she's already noted that like she has a high degree, all these skills.
Yeah.
And stuff, and it seems like because one thing Rutherford or OG Rutherford says is that he, you know, the implant they got was 10 years ago, and I'm just like, wait, how old are these guys? Like, I was like, 10 years ago, I thought you'd be like in your teenage years, but it seems like maybe not. So,
Well, yeah. I mean, they start doing calculus at like age 7.
Yeah, but you're not in the Starfleet at age 7.
That's true. That's true.
You know, you don't get a Starfleet till you're adults. But then Rutherford was already in Starfleet. So yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, just yeah, so there's definitely more to Manor than that there. And I mean, we got to see a little bit of Tindy's backstory, but wouldn't mind more. I'm wondering if Boimler has anything interesting in his backstory.
Yeah. Is the question. Just working on the grape farm.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. With all these women that for some reason want him, but he is totally oblivious to it.
And then the final scene is that the heist girl reaches out to Mariner.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you should keep my number.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And she does.
If you ever change your mind.
Yeah.
So we'll see if anything develops out of that.
I think something's going to... I mean, I think we're going to get... Manor's going to leave Starfleet for a bit. You know,
you think she's gonna wash out?
Yeah, not wash out or just quit or something like that. She's gonna come back when he realizes, you know, she wants her friends and that Starfleet was
maybe
good
just
for
take
her.
A leave of absence.
But no, I think she's gonna completely leave, you know.
No, I see it as a leave of absence and she's gonna go pal around with her and then she's gonna, you know, decide that that's not for her and then go back to Starfleet.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, interesting, fun episode. Good to have some Rutherford backstory. And
yeah, absolutely.
Definitely looking more into this
mystery. I want more expansion on it. I
want to know where this mystery is going, because, yeah, that's something right there.
All
right,
let's talk about She-Hulk.
Let's talk about She-Hulk.
Oh, we should mention that we are going to cover Andor.
Yeah.
But it's going to be there's 3 episodes this week, so we're doing a separate thing for that, because it's just too much to fold into one show. It'd be forever long. This She-Hulk episode was kind of meh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and they almost set it up to be kind of meh.
Yeah.
Like, it starts out with...
I mean, it's funny, but...
Yeah, it's funny and interesting. One interesting thing, just jumping in the head real quick, is so we got introduced to Mr. Immortal.
Yeah.
There's a fan base out there who's upset because of this introduction to him. I could kind of get it. If it's your favorite or one of your favorite things, Mr. Immortal is part of a hero team called the New Warriors.
Okay.
And another part of it, she's gotten really popular, is this hero named Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
And they were hoping, like, people have hoped that the MCU would eventually adopt them into it. And, you know, they can still introduce Squirrel Girl, but the thing is, Mr. Immortal being this old dude who's have all the moves, like, he's not old, like, when he's in the New Warriors, he's like a young dude and he's actually like a hero and fighting crime. And so this introduction of him kind of takes out the chance of the New Warriors showing up, at least in their normal form. And so, yeah, there's some people who are just, you know, they weren't too, I mean, not like up and on, but they weren't too happy
about
it. I want
to see Squirrel Girl show up.
Yeah. I think Squirrel Girl will be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could see her definitely fitting in. But we'll see. We'll see what Marvel does.
I need to know what the bill was for these clothes.
Mm.
Because this guy's like a series, like he's like a Louis Vuitton level guy, it seems like.
Yeah.
This had to be like $1 million price tag for like a full wardrobe.
I mean, here's my question though, is that dress that She-Hulk was wearing, she said that he made it for her. And I thought he was supposed to be making clothes that fit both Jen and She-Hulk. And that dress, when she switched back into Jen form,
it was a little loose.
She was like carrying around the extra fabric and stuff. So I was like, what, why are you paying extra money for that dress? Like, I feel like
he probably made a suit that fits both of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just made some other clothes that are like specific.
I just feel like if I'm going to this guy, because the thing is, she can go shop at a big and tall store and still get and go and get someone to actually like a tailor to fit the suit, so she's not just wearing a giant suit. So I'm like, if I'm going to this guy to get my clothes, I'm expecting, because the thing is, as Jen, if she's, you know, not going to be She-Hulk all the time, like right now Bruce is being Hulk all the time, if she's not going to be She-Hulk all the time, she wants to be able to be free to you know, go about. It's like, I would want to be like, yeah, when I'm at work, I want to have a suit that transforms. But also, like, if I'm going out with the girls for, you know, a spa day, and then, you know, a supervillain shows up, I don't want to have to worry about them. I want to have all my clothes be that. So, like I said, just in my day-to-day life, if I transform, I don't have to be worried about, oh, there goes, you know, my shirt or anything. So, I'm just saying, why are you paying all this money to this dude if all your clothes don't have this ability?
Yeah. So, Lower Decks, this has 2 separate storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about the lesser, but not lesser, Mr. Immortal storyline.
Mr. Immortal,
He's getting sued for divorce by, like, 8
people.
Women, because every time...
7? women and one man.
Oh, true. And every time that he's done with a relationship, he just fakes his death by suiciding himself and then running away. And now they've all caught up with him.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Apparently, Nikki has a thing for the Mallory.
Mm.
I think.
Really?
She was very excited about working with Mallory.
She just was,
and
like...
then started quizzing her. After the whole situation was resolved,
you didn't pick
up on that.
No, I mean, what it seemed to me,
because the Nikki character is homosexual,
yeah,
which has been confirmed by the actress. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I saw going on.
Oh, I didn't see that at all. I just saw it as more of her just, you know, it's her coworker that she doesn't get to work with that often. Maybe I was oblivious because, like, in her quizzing, even it seemed more like just trying to like get the details on like. Someone, I don't know. Maybe I'm oblivious to it, but I didn't really see it as that. But I mean, if she did, unfortunately, Mallory's married, so
yep,
nothing's gonna be happening kids. There. Has a kid. Yeah, or at least that's as much as he let. Mallory's a very private person.
Both
with her interactions with Nikki and with Jen, she's just like, when Jen's like, "I'm so glad we're friends now," she's like, "Kind of." She didn't deny it though. I will say Mallory was nice. I'm not to say we aren't friends, but she did kind of like look like, "Are we?" but yeah, so we got, I mean, that's the thing, is these last two episodes were kind of, we saw Mallory was introduced, I think, in the second episode, but it was just kind of like, hey, she's another person on the team, and then we kind of just didn't hear of her anymore.
So she's a character in the comics.
I was about to say,
and she's a rival of She-Hulk because Mallory was like the biggest like star lawyer of the firm. And she was going to take over the superhuman law division.
Yeah.
And then She-Hulk shows up and she's just like, you know, usually upset about it.
Yeah. But yeah, so these last two episodes, we kind of get to see more of this character. So yeah, Mr. Immortal, while dealing with his lawyers, or lawyer and I guess paralegal, because Nikki is not a lawyer. But anyways, they start basically hammering him when they find out like what he's doing with all his spouses.
Yeah.
And so he proceeds to jump out the window and just once again, I just love you hear everybody screaming. And then you just see him like getting up out of the car and just walking off. And I'm just like, yeah, this guy,
yeah,
this guy is going to be a problem.
But anyway, it was funny. Little side scene.
I gotta say, he said at the end there, he's like, I got some of my Apple stock. And also some gold from his first wife.
Yeah.
And all I could think is, then they're like, we'll split it 8 ways, call it good, and all that. And everybody's about to agree, but then they're like, wait a sec, he was only married to him for 2 years. And I was like,
and I had right kids there. With him.
Like, then they like circle around to like the end when Nikki's like organizing everything, and some people aren't getting much. Like, the one person, I mean, I guess Elsie Wynn was apology, but like, I would have just stuck. Like, who cares that everything? Like,
take that
cares?
Apple stock.
Exactly. Like, who cares if he only had 3 years? You're getting some Apple stock and a bunch of gold. Just take it, okay? Don't be greedy. Like, I feel like people got a shorter end of the stick because they opened a big mouth. I would have been like, shut up, just take the money, okay? Don't be a greedy bitch. But yeah. So then Jen's storyline is her going to her friend's wedding, which, first off, I totally agree with Nikki, especially when she's like, yeah, we haven't really talked. And I was like, one is also, I agree with Nikki 100%. Who has a wedding on a Thursday? Like, that's the most inconvenient thing. I know it's your big day and you're getting married.
Also, she would know about this like months in advance.
Yeah. Also, who tells you the week of their Thursday wedding? And then also, when Nikki's like, why did you say yes? It's like, I don't know, because who says no to being a bridesmaid? I'm like, I don't know, if you don't really talk to the person.
The childhood friends. It's just the way it works.
I don't know. I just.
So, okay, I didn't really understand this. Like, because she gets there, and then they just, all the other bridesmaids, she's not really being, like, friendly with them. Yeah. And they're not being friendly with her. And, in fact,
they're treating her like shit. Stuff. Like, I was like, what's the point of this? Like, why are they all like this? But I will say,
go iron the tablecloth. Oh, here's your little dog friend. Like,
it was a little bit of a dick move when Jen shows up in She-Hulk form.
Yes,
because I'm like, I'm sorry. Like I said, it is your friend's wedding. It is her day. And even she's like, oh, no one's gonna be paying attention. Like, you're a giant green woman
who's
been all over the news. You're related to Avenger. There's no way in hell they're not. And so I was just like, come on. I get that he just wanted to look good, but like, Jen, come on.
Well, this was like the rehearsal dinner or something.
Yeah, but she was planning to be She-Hulk. Like, she even says no. See, because he says no one's going to be looking at me. They're going to be looking at you.
Well, I took that to mean that she knew she was going to be Jen at the wedding.
No, see, because right after she said, hey, I don't want you to be Hulk at my wedding. And then Jen goes, fine. Like, she agrees to it. Goes, okay.
Fair enough.
And then she turns. We only got one. And it worked. But we only got one fourth wall break in this episode. Yeah. But that's when she turns to us. And she's like, I just wanted to look, you know, good for the wedding and stuff. So, I mean, she was 100% planning to be She-Hulk at that wedding. And,
all right. Let's talk about this guy that hits on her.
I'm not saying Jen cannot find a nice guy. I'm sure she will and all stuff. But this guy just screams 100%. Did you see like they have the previously on?
This is exactly where I was going with this. Yeah.
Then they showed people trying to get her blood. I'm like, this dude, he's.
Yep.
I mean, I would love for Josh to be legit and that Jen and Josh have a great relationship. But I'm like, no, Josh is up to some shady shit.
Yeah.
He's up to some shady stuff. Yeah.
Anytime they show you something in the previously on, it has some tangential.
Like,
you know,
I was really surprised we didn't get a brief scene of Joss on his cell phone. Like, I didn't get it yet or something.
Yeah.
But
then we get to the end, at the very end of the episode, where someone's watching her and they've got like they're preparing like special needles that can break the skin. Yeah.
Which I don't know. I still doubt that needle can break the skin.
But. Okay. Can we? Here's the question. Is She-Hulk immortal?
What do you mean?
Well, the Hulk is immortal.
So I think she has the same power level as our powers as him, so I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, if not immortal, is long living and you know, can take damage from most anything.
Yeah. But, and in Jen form, apparently, because Titania shows up at the wedding, clearly trying to like, you know, come and attack her.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh no, she's just here. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Like a superstar
super
like Titania?
Out of nowhere.
This is like up. Madonna in the 80s shows
no
up at your wedding.
No connection to you, but does have a connection to someone at your wedding.
And is there is the date of like one of the ugliest groomsmen or like... Absolutely hilarious. But yeah, Titania attacks her while she's in Jen form, and Jen seems to just kind of brush it off.
Yeah. I gotta say, Titania is interesting because in the two fights we've seen, like they made it very clear. She is nowhere near the same power level.
Yeah, I need a little snippet that's like, here's where Titania's power level, and here's how she got her powers and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, for the non-comic nerds that would know, because I don't know anything about Titania other than that
she's
in the comics and they're rivals.
Yeah, I didn't know much about her at all, but I feel like in the comics she's close, at least base Jen, just like, you know, before you start hulking out more, because Jen does get stronger the angrier she gets and stuff. But like, I always thought Titania was like around the same strength level as like base Jen, and then Jen of course without Skeller. But like the two times they fought, Jen hasn't been really been upset or angry. She just
outclasses Titania
and she's
ton.
Still like out yeah she just is way stronger than her, which is like, yeah, it makes for a really lame rivalry.
Yeah, because they get into this fight at the wedding. I'm like, oh, I thought this was gonna be like a major blowout, but it like she just slips and then that's the end of it, you know. It's like, it's all fun and games until somebody loses
her
a tooth.
But Jen hulks out at the wedding, even though she promised she won it. But luckily, her friend is too drunk to realize that she's hulking out at the wedding and is just thrilled that She-Hulk is at her wedding. it was just like a little side trip episode. You know, they even said like, yeah, it's inconvenient to do this right now in the middle. I'm wondering if we're going to go straight, because like I said, you know, the episode before this, we got the little Daredevil Easter egg.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if next episode, that means like after this episode, because if that means for sure, like that's he's in the next one or what. I mean, we know he's in it. We just don't know when. We got 8, 9, 10 left. So
yeah,
three episodes.
I don't know what's. So I think the Titania is going to sue her for the fight, and all the video evidence is just going to be of She-Hulk attacking her, but not like what happened outside first. And She-Hulk is going to have to go to anger management classes, which is how we're going to get the scene where she's in that like circle. In like a basement or something.
Yeah. That's
it'd be like Anger Anonymous or something like that.
It makes sense. Oh, a little thing that we didn't bring up, and not that, it may not lead to anything, but we also, during the wedding, we get a scene of Jen calling Bruce and bringing up like, hey, haven't heard from you. What you doing? So, I mean, yeah, I don't know if that means anything. Maybe Bruce
drunk
will
dialing.
Come back. We'll come back or something. But we know he's off in space doing something.
Yeah. we also got like a little tidbit about there's a She-Hulk hate site.
Oh yeah,
out there called Intelligentsia.
Well, no, no. Intelligentsia is just a hate site, and she has posts on it because that's also where, like, because the reason they're even on Intelligentsia is there are a bunch of people posting about Mr. Immortal. Mm. Like, it's just like, it's like some forum where everybody goes to, you know, complain and post death threats and talk about how much they hate individuals, which, you know, sounds very much like, you know, real life, so not surprised.
And then no mid-credit scene, which is, again, bullshit.
Exactly. Like,
a show like this, if you're going to have mid-credit scene at all, just you got to have them every episode.
And they don't have to, like,
and there's no reason not to.
Exactly. Because they don't have to be.
Which you've got money.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's not like even that much money. You already have everybody on set. And it's like, hey, you and you, we're going to do a quick end-credit scene. Bing, bam, boom, you're done. So, yeah, no, I definitely
What would your end-credit scene have been?
I mean, there's a couple ways to do it. There's part of me like do an end credit scene where for no reason at all we just catch up with Wong and Madison somewhere.
Yes,
just you know, them in downtown New York getting froyo or something. I don't know.
I would have done. I would have done.
But if we want to keep it related to it,
I would have done Hulk, She-Hulk accidentally stepping on the little tiny dog. That would have been dark though.
Yeah, would have been too dark. Been too dark. We can't do that.
Or maybe maybe Chet mansplaining something to her while he's DJing.
Yeah. But no, talking about Jonathan, that little dog, actually going back. When they introduced him, did you hear? They're like, yeah, he's so brave. We had to resuscitate him this morning. I'm like, that dog's going to be alive. That dog's going to be alive.
Oh, man.
But yeah. Definitely something with Chet. I think the Inchettable Hulk, as he called it.
Bad choice of song to play during the Hulk fight. They could have done so much better.
When he queued up the song, I was like, really?
But I guess that was a joke that he's a bad DJ or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know, fun episode, but, you know, definitely meh, just kind of there. Just a holding pattern for our next episode. So. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think it's 9 episodes. I don't think it's 10. So actually, I think we only have 2 episodes left, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's next one's got to have Daredevil.
It's got to, right? But yeah.
All right, Stargirl.
Yep, Stargirl.
The evidence. Yes. A single skin cell.
Yep. Which, interesting. It will be interesting how that plays out.
A lot of Iceman in this episode.
Yeah. We started out with him in a room full of snow globes, which... I'm just like, I don't know, just because your family has ice powers doesn't mean you got to have a whole bunch of snow. Like, what's the point of that? Why are you guys collecting snow globes?
So the new theory is that his grandparents are the killers.
So here's one thing, is I am almost positive, because we've seen multiple scenes this time, that I'm almost positive that the guy watching, which I'm also pretty sure is the dude from last season.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure. I don't think he had anything to do with the killing.
Mm.
I think he just happened to be watching. But just the way the cameras are set up, and he's I feel like they already established themselves there, and it doesn't seem like there's any reason for... Like I said, I think this is just more, like as they kind of alluded to at the end of last season, they're like curious about this whole heroes and villains living together, and they're like, this is interesting.
Looking at it as a scientific perspective instead of getting involved in the story.
Exactly.
But I think that's a good theory that the grandparents, because maybe like the guy can turn into like some kind of abominable guy.
So here's the thing that I find interesting.
And then she creates like ice shivs or something.
I mean, they definitely, I think any of them can create ice shivs. But here's the thing that's interesting though, is he brings up that it's something that runs in his family, and so he has it, of course. His dad has it. His dad's wife didn't have it, though, because we saw in flashbacks he didn't have any powers.
Yeah.
But then both the grandparents, so I'm like, so was it two families that had ice powers that they wed and then have this? Like, I'm just like, you'd think it would run through one part of the family. But
yeah,
the fact that
both grandparents
have it is, like, weird. I mean, like I said, maybe they're just... Both, you know, dad's side of the family comes from a place where everybody has ice powers.
Right? Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Maybe
some inbreeding to keep the line pure or something.
Exactly. I mean, they might. They very close. He breaks a snow globe that just conveniently happens to have a figurine in it that looks like Courtney. Which I'm like, well, that's convenient. But anyways, and then we get to Courtney being woken up by the staff to go find Starman. And my one is, this is my first of the light questions, is who sleeps in a pair of Ugg boots?
Yeah.
Why are you wearing boots? Why are you in bed with boots on?
Yeah, she's sleeping in like full house clothes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, crying out loud. But anyways,
I did like the personal DJ shirt though. That's my jam.
Yeah. What I was gonna say, the staff though, I can't remember if I brought this up last week, but it definitely this week proves it some more. Is that the staff has, like, we know this, the staff has its own mind, essentially, and its own personality. And so last week when he goes to the store to fight Sportsmaster
and Tigress,
the whole thing, like, when he comes, like, yeah, I made the wrong choice. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't make it alone. Like, the staff went with him, and the staff can choose not to. Like, the staff went with him, so, like, the staff was wholeheartedly there, too. Like, the staff is a little bit of a rogue canon itself. Like, no one's taking that into effect. But I'm like, might want to watch that staff. That's what I say. Like,
well, the staff comes to wake her because to take her to find Starman's body.
Which I'm like, I mean, not just body, how did it know where Starman was? Yeah, exactly. Also, that's another thing.
Well, they kind of talk about that in this episode, that they're kind of linked in some way.
Yeah, he's somehow been getting his energy.
So this a lot of this episode was all about passing the torch, so to speak. It's passing the staff, passing the glasses, though not so much, which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
And you had talked about many episodes ago, either first or second season, that there's also a cosmic belt.
Mm-hmm.
And the big theory right now is that Starman is going to change to his comic book identity, Skyman.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvester Pemberton is Skyman and never Starman in the comic books. And he uses the cosmic belt to fly.
Right, there is a Starman in the comic book.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Sylvester Pemberton never was.
Correct. Okay. He is given the staff, but he never takes up the Starman mantle. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, no, because, yeah, definitely there is a belt out there. I'm still wondering if we're going to see, I mean, we'll see, if this series continues on and also how they want to do it, because, I mean, you know, do you want to get two ensemble casts? But because there's still some parts of the JSA that they haven't revived members of, like, I mean, one is, and like I said, when they first announced or said that this guy was a part of the JSA, I had huge issues with the JSA dying to the ISA just because of power levels. Because I'm like, one of the people who's in the JSA, actually two of them, one is Hawkman, which is, he's a godlike being, but the one
immortal,
immortal, the one who's even more, I'm like,
well, kind of, he's not really immortal so much as he resurrects,
but the one that gets me the most, and I'm just like, how did, like, I need a well explained out explanation of how the ISA defeated Dr. Fate,
because
Dr. Fate is on a power level like nobody else with his magic. I'm just like, how did Solomon Grundy, a guy who can make some ice, ooh, a shadowy guy, a really fit sports dude and his wife, and a brain dude, and essentially an accountant. How do they defeat the mystical magic man of all power?
I can't wait to see Bronson as Dr. Fate in Black Adam.
Yeah.
Black Adam's looking, it's looking so good.
It's looking, I'm like, I'm kind of feeling it. I'm thinking this will be one of DC's few hits that they get every once in a while.
Yeah. So we get some realization from Beth's mom, the doctor, realizing like, these kids are going to get hurt. And
this is dangerous. This isn't all fun and games.
Yeah. But they bring in Dr. Midnight. They bring in McNighter to come and check out Starman and stuff. And he gets a scene with Beth. And all I'm sitting here thinking, I want to talk about why is she using the old goggles? Why didn't she get fancy, upgrades like like McNighter has? You know, he's got like the cool shades.
He has the cool shades, But and maybe the old goggles are more powerful. I don't know. Maybe there's more going on there. You know, the shades are simple.
I'm really hoping they get costume upgrades soon, because Beth's costume is just not working.
Yeah, no.
It does not look good. What's the deal? Why is the cape necessary?
Yeah.
And like it needs updated. So does Our Man.
At the end of the day, I mean, I hate to say this, and this is no offense to Beth, but Beth really needs to pivot from being like on the scene to more of a
being in the band,
as Ned from Spider-Man says, the guy in the computer, in Batman, Batgirl or Barbara Gordon has kind of stepped back from being Batgirl and she's more the Oracle, she's the one at the computer, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with that, like everyone needs someone at the computer, and Beth, like, as far as we know, during the off season or while we're at stuff, Beth hasn't gotten any training. Like, I'm just like, I hate to say it, like, Beth, you are a liability.
She need to be at the gym.
You are a liability. Like, Stargirl was already in great shape and stuff, and now she has this power staff. Our Man, while it is a liability because it's only an hour, but Our Man is essentially invulnerable and super strong. Freaking Yolanda, I can never remember her persona. Wildcat, the suit imbues her with like, and
Wildcat's the one of the few that can't get a new suit because the suit is part of the situation.
Yep. And then even freaking what's her face? I can't remember her name. The evil chick who
Shiv.
Yeah, Shiv. See, like Cindy. She's been made for this. But I'm like, but you have zero skills, and I'm not trying to put you down. But stay home. Get some calm.
I need a scene with Sportsmaster just like running her around the block.
Exactly.
Like and he's got like a bike or something. No, he'd run with her, but he needs to be like, you know, training her, because he mentions that in the last season where he's like, okay, it's time, you know, start getting in the gym. Oh, that was for Mike though.
Yeah, that was for Mike. Yeah. Which, yeah, Mike, interesting with him. They've alluded to for the first time that Mike might get to pilot Stripe at some point, because he was there going to get the keys. But back with the Starman thing, when they're in the there, there's a part where Pat asked Stargirl, like, why wouldn't he tell us? And I'm like, he's a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
He's a grown man. Like, I'm not saying, like, yeah, he should go out and snoop around and stuff, but I'm like, him not telling, he's a grown, Starman is Starman, not Starboy, Starman, he's a grown-ass man. He ain't got to tell you when he's leaving the house.
He still should have, though.
He didn't take the staff. It was not like, but, and that's also, once Starman wakes up, they have a little talk about, like, hey, if I'm not here and you need the staff, even if it's not my turn, you know, you should take it. And he says the same for her. I'm like, that's going to make things very interesting if they keep up the staff here. Because I guarantee there's going to be a time, like maybe even right now with Starman going underground, but where he's going to take the staff to go do something Starman. And then, you know, evil villain's going to show up and she's like, I need to go get the staff. So he's going to get home. There's not going to be a staff. I'm just like, hey, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Like, or at some point they're going to be in a battle and the staff just runs away because it's been called.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get a brief scene where Wildcat Yolanda is talking to her mom. Mm-hmm. Well, her mom really comes and barges in.
Yeah.
At least her mom's so mean.
Her parents,
so mean.
Man. I thought last season, like, she had just, like, established that she wasn't listening to them anymore. So and basically had rebelled. But it shows like no, she's back. Like, I think she's using her job at the diner as cover for when she goes out. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, it sounds like they might.
At some point, they're going to go to that diner to find her. Yeah. She's not going to be there.
It sounds like they're looking to move.
Yeah, yeah. So my theory is that she is going to use the Wildcat costume to rob a bank or something, so that way they don't have to move.
Mm. My theory is that she's gonna they're gonna move, but she's gonna get emancipated and be like, I'm out of this.
Oh, she's just gonna stay.
Yeah, and she's gonna stay because, I mean, why would she want to be like, her parents are the worst. Like, it's not just that they're like strict on her, it's that they literally look down on her.
Yeah,
and just, oh, like, I just remember from previous seasons, I'm like, these, I mean, I've said this about all the parents in the Starman universe, except for the villain parents. They actually seem to be a lot better. Yeah. But all the parents, all the hero parents, is like, they are terrible parents a lot of times.
But I'm just sitting here going, like, Yolanda, you know, like, somebody who's, like, on the town council, you know, a business owner, like, Pat can't give the dad a job at the garage. Yeah, like, there are options
I
here.
I guarantee her dad wouldn't take a job working at Pat's garage. He'd be too below in the way they view themselves.
Yeah.
But maybe work.
I don't know what her dad
council.
Did.
I don't know.
I don't know what his career was.
Yeah. Anyways, we get back to...
he probably worked at the grocery store. No longer has.
That's why he lost his job. It blew up, which no one mentioned.
We have not addressed that. Yeah, like...
No one. The town just... There was a town meeting what's her name?
Barbara.
And no one in there was like, hey, yeah, we're gonna sign off on your park. But what about the grocery store?
We need to rebuild the grocery store.
No one brought it up. Also, in that meeting, Barbara's like, yeah, we need a place, we want people to feel safe here. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, not to be this guy, but building that park isn't gonna make Blue Valley any safer. Like, that's not gonna solve anything. You still got random explosions and grocery stores blowing up and school fields opening up to reveal a giant solar cannon thing. I'm just, it's just Park's not going to change any of that.
So they investigate the trailer and they find a single skin cell.
Yes.
That belongs to the Dragon King, which we find out later.
Does it?
But yeah, correct. Because we find out that Cindy is kind of fighting off some changes, and that's why she's taking.
Yeah, and I brought that up earlier when you were saying she was trying to improve herself. I was like, no, I think she's like trying to like,
keep it at bay.
Yeah. So
So my theory is that Dragon King, Cindy was like the backup plan, where like if he died, she would morph into him.
Yeah,
and maybe like somehow his memories and stuff would be there, like a resurrection thing,
which would suck to be Cindy. But I hope that even though like you said it's up in the air whether that single cell is from Cindy or from the Dragon King. I hope the Dragon King is back because I always felt like they killed him way too early. Like it was just like. They established, like, oh, he's a Dragon King. Yeah. He's immortal. I'm like, hey, now he's dead. And I was like, oh, okay.
Need more. Yeah, I was right there with you. Like, need more Dragon King.
So if he is alive, I think that'd be good. I'm not sure about Cindy turning into him. But also, like, yeah, I still wonder, because if that skin cell is from Cindy, then I still don't think Cindy killed, what's his face?
Well, maybe she like did some, like Hulk rage where she went into like Dragon King mode.
But also, like I said, she was there before everybody else.
Well, that's why she would have been there.
But no, what I'm saying is maybe she got there before everybody else, and that's also when the skin cell got planted. And maybe killed him. But
because we don't know that the skin cell was from Dragon King, right?
Yeah. Like,
because they just the Dr. Midnight was just like, I've seen this readings before. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like they have a DNA match or anything.
Yeah.
He's just like, this is like the same readings that I saw when, you know, I tested the Dragon
King. But everybody did jump onto Dragon King being back. Like he said, because I'll give you that. He says, like, yeah, this is the same readings, but then everyone's like, so Dragon King's back. Like, we're jumping to conclusions here, folks.
Also, there's like a scene where they're like, oh, well, then it's got to be Cindy. And then Courtney's like, oh, well, I never told you guys about, you know, what she did when and what I saw when we were in the Shadow Realm. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why the hell not?
Yeah.
You've been trying to defend this girl.
Exactly.
All this whole time. Why wouldn't she be like, hey, yo, let me tell you about the fucked up shit that I saw?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, ridiculous.
So we get little Mike Jakeem.
Yep, the paper boy detective agency.
Yeah, yeah, trying to figure things out. And I will say, like, the wish backfires because I imagine.
Yes, but I'm pissed because they need to show us what they wished for so I know how it went wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What dumbass wish did they make that led to just, like, a million keys?
Mm-hmm.
Being dumped into the bathroom.
The thing I was thinking is also because that's the another part of the genie. The way he works is that you can only wish for things one time. I'm like, wow, this is a even if they like if they would have gotten the keys. Let's say he would have wished and they gotten the keys to go to Stripe. Like you can now never wish for the keys for Stripe again. Like I don't know. I feel like there's a better time and a place to use that wish.
Yeah,
like, I was like, this is a very very bad time to be making those.
Well, that's why they're not supposed to be using it.
Yeah,
And by the way, they just casually walk away from this.
Mm-hmm. No one. I know this town is way too blasé about crazy shit happening.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Something weird. Two boys come busting out of the bathroom with over like a million keys, and there's like. Okay. Like,
it's not acceptable for you to ever try and wish for something at school.
Mm-hmm.
You could blow up the whole school.
Yeah.
You could kill everyone.
Yeah. You can't. You gotta be. It's...
Well, that whole school filled up with keys.
Yeah. Everybody and people can't get out, suffocated. Like, yeah, it's just out of control. Don't know.
I love the little taxidermy thing.
Oh yeah,
Want it. I would have that if somebody brought me that. I'd be like, yeah, that's going on my desk. Like that thing was awesome. Barbara's all freaked out.
Also
I'm like, you're from Nebraska, Barbara.
Yeah, I made it myself, which is like more like that. She went out and killed it and made it herself. Like not just like, oh, I tagged you. I'm like, no. She hunted this thing down. So then we get a scene of Sportsmaster and Starman's. Just, you know, burying the hatchet. And all I got to say, I've said it multiple times, is lock your door. Lock your doors, people.
He would come in anyway.
But and also, I find it weird. And they did, you know, Vince Thero scene where he's apparently down there doing one-handed push-ups. But still, I was like, I find it very weird that Sportsmaster would drink beer.
Yes, like how much, I agree.
How much he's like?
Well, I mean,
like,
if you're gonna build, you know, work off the carbs.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that he comes in and gives him gruel for breakfast, and I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like he'd be very strict on his diet.
I see he's more of a low calorie. I don't think he would drink at all.
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, that's like bad for his body.
Yeah,
but no, he'd be a low calorie liquor guy for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. He can't have those empty carbs of beer. No, that's crazy.
Every beer is 200 calories.
But yeah, so then, we kind of, I don't know, I said this before, and I'm just like, Courtney, where is this going?
Yeah.
How is this relationship going to play out? At some point, you
gotta
say,
hey, I'm responsible for the death of your father.
Yeah. Seeing
Cameron. My
brother
literally ran him over.
Seeing Cameron get together, and, you know, he has an outburst and shows his powers for the first time, so now Courtney knows he has his father's powers.
Thought Cameron knew she was Stargirl. No. I'm like, how is he not figuring that out in this episode?
I mean, yeah, I will say that, like, Stargirl not being shocked, and then when she a little bit later he asked her, like, how are you not scared of all this? And she just kind of stutters through. Yeah. And I'm like, you have got to have a better explanation, Ray. If you're to try to have a relationship with the son of the man who tried to kill you, and then you were partly responsible for his death, if you're going to have a relationship with that kid, you need answers ready to go. There's no bumbling around or being like, no, you got to be right. She says, why aren't you surprised? She'd be like, oh, because I don't know. Just something. Gotta have something.
Yeah.
Gotta have something.
Well, there's also like her reaction to, like, when he's like, you know, a normal person, and she's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
And, but no, the second that he says, I've got to live up to my father's destiny and continue his work, that's when you go like, we got to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I'm Stargirl. I'm in the JSA. Mm-hmm. Your dad was a bad guy. Like,
and then here's the thing is, like, talk about the, cause like one thing that said a lot about, Batman has even been brought up by Dick Grayson, his protege, is that, you know, Bruce Wayne could do a lot more good than Batman could for Gotham and stuff. And they said that.
Oh,
about,
they bring that up in the most recent Harley Quinn.
Yeah. And it's true. And so, like, and then, like, just looking at all the heroes, you know, just different heroes, like, they could be doing a lot in different ways other than just beating up bad guys and stuff. But there's certain powers. I'm like, I don't know how you could. Like, his father was a villain. But he basically was saying, like, yeah, I was using my powers for good. I'm like, besides being a hero, I can't think of any way you could use ice powers to really benefit. I mean, and except for maybe like going to another country where they're having a drought all the time and making water.
Forest fires.
I guess forest fires and stuff. But that's still more in the hero realm. I'm just trying to think, like, normal human, not being a hero, not, you know, putting on a mask, fighting crime. What could you use ice powers for to benefit a community?
Can he just create ice out of nothing? It seemed like he could just create ice out of nothing.
It seems like you can create ice out of nothing.
So you go to like Africa or something where they have like a drought.
Yeah,
and you just create a bunch of water.
Exactly. You could do that.
Oh, no, you could. No. You refreeze the Arctic.
Yeah,
to fight off global warming.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
You know, like shore up that ice sheet. Mm-hmm. Maybe some whatever you call them. The bit, what is it? What are they called? The big ice things.
Icebergs?
Yeah, no. The ones that last like millions of years.
Oh,
glaciers.
Yeah, glaciers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So you guys, you could do that. But I mean, and that's the thing is, though, if his father was doing that, like, why don't you have any record of your dad doing? Like, that's where I started. Like, your dad was a good guy.
No, instead he wants to mind control the world.
What was he doing with ice? Like, how was he helping? That's where I'd start. If I was gonna try and get him to not follow in his father's footsteps and realize that he was a bad dude, I would start there. Like, oh, you said your dad would help. What was he doing? Yeah, the ice powers. What was he doing with those ice powers? Was he up in Antarctica a lot? Was he headed up there? No. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. Like, you know, so that let him suddenly come to the conclusion, like, well, maybe Dad wasn't such a great guy.
But this was very much a just push the story forward episode. You know, it necessary, but ultimately kind of meh.
Yeah.
You know, but I definitely am not on board with this whole relationship between Courtney and
Cameron. I really thought this season. Or after, like, this season had established, like, that it was done. I thought they were kind of making it clear that Cameron was going to eventually become, and he still might, but was going to become a full-bore villain at some point. That's where we were establishing. And so now that they're kind of rekindling things, I'm just like...
Now, she needs a new love interest that showed up this season or something.
It's like, I get that, you know, he's a cute guy and you have a feeling for him, but there's just, I just don't, this isn't a Batman Catwoman sort of thing. Batman never killed Catwoman's father. Yeah. So I'm just like, you can't, not all villains are dateable. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is a valuable time where we could be showing scenes of them training and her becoming more badass with the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As always, you can find us on our website, watchingitpodcast.com. There you can find links to our Twitter, to our Instagram, and to email us, watchingitpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to Eric for writing in to us again and watching the show. We always love to hear from you. Donnell, what else should they do?
He's watching the show.
It's watching it, whatever. I don't know.
I mean, I'm kind of now weirded out by that.
We have some YouTube videos.
Yeah, but not of any of the most recent stuff. But I need to get back on that. And even the YouTube stuff that I have posted, I mean, we do have a few videos of actual live stuff, but the other stuff is just our logo and then just the audio playing. So even then, you know, I guess you'd still be watching it.
Yeah, in a trance, because our voices are just so hypnotic.
But anyways, what you should do is go ahead and, I mean, they're coming out at the same time, so go ahead and check out our episode on the first three episodes of Andor.
Yep.
Because we're going to be covering that.
Also check out our episode on Meet Cute.
Do that, and see, just watch the movie first.
And stuff. Absolutely. It's only an hour and a half.
It's like, a quick hour and a half. It's a good movie.
It's fantastic. I keep telling everyone I'm talking to, I'm like, dude, you're going to watch Meet Cute.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I don't know why it's rated so low. It's just ridiculous.
Hey, it's climbing. It's climbing.
It's good. But anyways, yeah, so do both of those things. And then, you know, send us any emails if you have any, you know, your own thoughts or your own theories, any of that stuff. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening. Bye.